This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have on our show sheet today, we have what is referred to as a supercut. Ryan, real quick, in the industry, define a supercut.
It's basically a montage, but of audio.
Or video. Audio and video.
If it was video, I would just say a montage.
Of supercut of Cory Booker's filibuster. Are you like me where it's you woke up and they're like, he's been talking for 14 hours. And I'm just like, why? What? Oh, he's complaining about Trump? How kind of him to contain it to the nighttime hours.
Yeah, I didn't stay up watching it.
You didn't?
No.
Did anybody?
No.
Well, he's going on a filibuster. Brad, to your understanding, is there a purpose to, like, is he going to stop when he gets his fill in the blank?
No, he's angry and he wants to complain. This is the best that I can gather from it.
Are they trying to stop something from happening?
No.
I've never heard of a filibuster that should have been the poll today. I was thinking about that. Who among us would be the most successful filibusterer?
Ooh, it's a good Friday.
Maybe that is. Put it down.
Okay.
Because I think it would come down between you and me, Ryan. I think Brad is efficient and straight to the point and non-blustery.
Mm. Not me.
You, on the other hand.
I'm not
efficient, not straight to the point, very blustery.
And I can get around some topics, too, with some BS.
It's like 50% of what you do.
Where did the phrase
The charm long? Is figuring out which 50%.
Uh-huh. Because I'm pretty sure about 100% of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Sometimes I get you going on a roll. Now, okay, a little behind the curtain here on the Andy Fry Show. Sometimes I will throw a comment Ryan's way that has stated factual information that I have just in that moment made up. And Ryan verifies all of it with at least 3 minutes of content. And if you watch him, sometimes he's so... This is why sometimes you got to peek in on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. If you watch him go, he gets midstream and he's like, well, there's no turning back here. Got to get all the way across this river. And he starts to crack himself up.
That does happen. And a lot of times I'll start talking and I have no idea where it's going. And I mean, even mid word, I don't even know how that word's going to end.
Which is how you start cracking yourself up because you also are watching it in real time.
Yeah, that's very true.
I just wonder what that would be like, if it would be similar to Cory Booker, Senator Cory Booker on the floor. I mean, there's got to be some of those moments where he just thinks, I am the funniest person alive.
I have a tremendous love for this institution. As a 98-year-old, she now has dementia. $5 trillion that disproportionately go to the wealthy. Your report means he has not been able to get loans to expand his business as long as I possibly physically can. So is presented to
Okay, I can't do this. This
what?
Is not a supercut.
That's a poor cut.
What was the first thing that he said there? I was waiting for him to make the
point. I have a tremendous love for this institution.
That's it.
That's it. And I was mid swing on a vanilla latte, and I was waiting for it. I almost just let it go.
I looked this up to see what exactly is he filibustering, And the headlines are, it's an anti-Trump speech.
Yeah. I mean, that's all that I have been able to surmise. If you're trying to figure out some sort of way to stop some legislation from being voted on or whatever, that's generally what a filibuster is. I remember Rand Paul going a long time. I think it was over 15 hours. Maybe my guess is 2013. Is that right? 2012. And it's an interesting part of our government, that the filibuster, that you could just go until you can't stop in the Senate.
I like the filibuster.
And if I think it's a call for our country, I have to ask myself how I'm living these words. So tonight, I rise with the intention of getting in some good trouble. I rise with the intention of disrupting the normal business of the United States Senate for as long as I am physically able. I rise tonight because I believe sincerely that our country is in crisis. And I believe that not in a partisan sense, because so many of the people that have been reaching out to my office in pain, in fear, having their lives upended, so many of them identify themselves as Republicans.
That's not true.
I'm sure they identify themselves when they call in a Cory Booker as a Republican.
Hi, I'm a Republican, and I just came inside from keying a Tesla outside in your parking lot, and I am in duress.
We represent Republicans from Portland, and all of my Portland Republican friends hate this.
This is where Cory Booker loses me. Cory Booker is up there telling us that he speaks on behalf of the New Jersey Republicans. Okay. All right. Anywho, moving on.
You know, the only reason that he's doing this is because people are telling the Democrats they're not doing enough. So he's going to stand up there for 18 hours.
And do literally anything.
And not accomplish anything other than just talk. It's just more talk.
Did you see, speaking of the Tesla stuff, did you see the, I think we might have had this yesterday. It's a hard clip. I don't know that it translates as much. Well, it might if we play it over there. The one where the guy's like, you keyed my Tesla. And he's like, it was a crayon. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at the end, he starts saying, he's like, "I it was misguided. I didn't mean it. My problem is with the company, not with you. Not with the car. Have you, like, the way these people are reacting when they get caught, they're folding like a cheap chair. They're so quick to just be like, no, never mind, never mind. I heard yesterday, I think, is it the Pam Bondi clip? We have the Pam Bondi clip.
We have that
too.
Today, yeah.
She's talking about these firebombings, and she's directly addressing what I think a lot of people want to see happen, which is swift action being taken when the law is being broken. And you got to tell me, do you think that is this extreme, or is this what we need more of, coming from the Attorney General of the United States?
I've made it clear, if you take part in the wave of domestic terrorism against Tesla properties, we will find you, arrest you, and put you behind bars. Today, I'm proud to announce that the Department of Justice has unsealed federal charges against another Tesla attacker. We've charged Cooper Frederick in the firebombing of a Tesla dealership that occurred on March 7th in Loveland, Colorado. All of these cases are a serious threat to public safety. Therefore, there will be no negotiating. We are seeking 20 years in prison. The crime was committed in Colorado, and thanks to the great investigative work by the FBI, the defendant was arrested in Plano, Texas. Let this be a warning. You can run, but you cannot hide. Justice is coming.
So the Attorney General of the United States says justice is coming. They're going to seek out 20 years for the firebombing of this Tesla dealership. That's life changing to the greatest degree. I mean, how old was that person who did that? Even if I have no idea, but I mean, they had to be probably at least 20. They could be as old as 60 or even older than that. So I've seen some of these protests, and they're not short on hippie boomers that are standing out holding signs that have swastikas on them. 20 years is a huge, huge deterrent if they're able to do this and convict. And I don't know how long that whole process will take. But to know that they're throwing the book at these people, I'm not sad to see it. F-A-F-O.
Yeah. Well, this there's a number of reasons why they should go full for this. Because first, it sends a message. But second, it's premeditated. So that's a big deal. This isn't just something that, they got caught up in something. This is premeditated. They planned it. It's political in nature, and it's terrorism. Those are all three things that you need to go full force after to stop happening within the borders of the country.
I think it was Hans von Spakovsky that said that a hate crime is based on attacking someone on their like physical characteristics, their demographics, that type of a thing. And domestic terrorism or terrorism is ideology based. So if you are attacking somebody for their ideology or on behalf of your own, that's where terrorism comes in. And there's no doubt about it that this is exactly what is happening with the targeting of Teslas. I don't know enough about stocks and shares and all of that stuff. And you like to make fun of me for that when you can.
Mm-hmm.
But Tesla stock right now, I don't have the jollies on my phone here that Tim Walz has. I do have it on a watch list because I said if it got to a certain point, I was going to buy it. Ooh, it is not down there. Tesla's up 6% mm-hmm. right now. It's a 274 share. And if I look at it in the last year, its peak was 436. And that was, December 9th. Do you think Tesla's going away? Do you think Tesla is going to be something that regains it? You know, if Elon Musk is, I don't think that he's going to be in government in perpetuity, like the swamp creatures. Don't you think he's going to do what he does? Recalibrate the system, maybe get computers that talk to each other and systems that talk to each other, along with the help of, you know, the Airbnb CEO is part of the panel that was on Bret Baier. There are a lot of other people there, and they're in the shadow of Elon Musk. Now, he's the richest one of them all, of course, but there are a lot of people who are incredibly wealthy, incredibly successful, who are serving their country in this capacity. He's not going to be there forever.
No, he said he wasn't. I think he said that July 4th of next year, they were already going to be wrapping up his particular mission. But he may actually bow out a little bit for that. Looking at Tesla stock, though, Tesla's not going anywhere. The reason that people are going, oh my gosh, it's lost so much market share. Well, it rose dramatically after the election because people go, oh man, he's a big winner.
Yeah.
So this is going to go well. So it really, right now, it's back to about where it was pre-election. It's actually still a little higher than it was pre-election. So if this is
July of last year, 248, and it's 274 right now.
Look, this is the reason that this is domestic terrorism is it's because it's trying to take out a major revenue source for the guy that's in charge of Doge.
Well,
and it's not working.
The thing to me that the point that I was trying to make and the thing that is interesting here for me is that they're trying to drive Tesla stock down. They're trying to hurt the company. Mm-hmm. Who are the people who are buying Tesla stock to support Elon Musk? People on the right,
I guess.
Moderates,
yeah.
And people, conservatives, who probably see it as a buying opportunity when it gets low. And if it becomes wealthy again, it's like the left is single-handedly enriching the right.
Yeah,
by driving down the stock price so that people on the right can be like, well, I support him. I would like to buy one share of Tesla stock. I was looking and I thought to myself, if it gets below 200, I'm going to go find some pennies and buy a share so that I can own a share. I have tried to learn the stock market more by participating in this way. It's made me a more educated broadcaster, I think. But I wouldn't be doing that if it weren't Elon Musk. And I got to think there are people who are a little more disposed to being able to say, well, I'll spend $1,000 on Tesla stock. I think what Elon Musk does is great. I want to support him. But also, if the price dips, it's going to go back up again. And I just find it interesting that the left, in trying to make people afraid to drive their Teslas or want to... And that's the other thing. If people trade in their Teslas, that car has already been purchased from Elon Musk. So it's not like you're not You're not sticking it to the man. You're really sticking it to what I have to think is 50-50 at best, voters, people who are out there buying Teslas before Elon Musk was involved in politics. I highly doubt that the purchasers of Tesla leaned far left. They probably were moderate lefties, enjoyed the benefit of being able to have an alternative source for fuel, like the technology, like the, and I'm not saying this in a pejorative way, the virtue of driving an electric car.
And upper middle class.
Yeah.
That's what you had to be.
Those people are in play to go, I don't like this party anymore. I'm going to consider my alternative and my options there. Like, I don't think that this was thought through. I'm interested when we get to the midterm elections or maybe even the next presidential election to see if the Tesla effect, if there are people who say, you know what, I always voted for Democrats. We were a union family, didn't really love where inflation went during the Biden administration, but I was at Target and I came back out and someone slashed my tires on my Tesla and left a nasty message. And from then I thought maybe this isn't for me anymore.
We're going to hear those messages.
I think we are. So I don't want people to continue this. And I do want Pam Bondi to hold these people accountable. It's good to see that she is. When you look at how the left politically reacted to the presence of so many people at the Capitol building on January 6th, and you understand how many people were there who were very upset and very felt very disenfranchised by the setup of the government. And I know that people have made it out to be on par with 9/11. Those are psychotic people. Those are mentally unwell people who would tell you that. One person was shot, and it was by a police officer. It was in large part nonviolent. There were people there who were stoking the emotions and the mood of people that were present, and we still have questions that haven't been answered about who was really pushing what. Where is the same outrage for the people not protesting at a Capitol building that belongs to the people? Where is the outrage on the left for the people who are seeking out American taxpaying citizens who are parking their car at the grocery store, at work, at home, wherever it might be on the side of the road, who are parking their car there and living their life and coming out to this sort of ideology-driven hatred and vandalism? You literally see people who are being asked about this type of vandalism and they're saying they're just cars. They're not people. They're just cars. The double standard is outrageous. It's also sadly predictable, and it's good to see Pam Bondi stepping up and saying, well, you can keep doing this, but we will hunt you down. That vandalism she said that they got the guy for, they did it in Colorado. They arrested him in Texas.
Yeah.
They did not stop to find that person.
Right. What they need to do is find enough of these people that they can find out who's organizing these things, because that's organized domestic terrorism at that point.
Yeah.
And who's funding it, if anybody is. Trace it back, because if you're making $200-$300 for going to these things and they go, you're going to get 20 years, we'll give you 10 if you rat out your superiors. Do it.
Or
absolutely do it.
Yeah. How much information you want to get? Well, we could forget the whole thing depending on the amount of information you're able to get us.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it. I'm ready for a new approach to justice, like the one that actually adheres to law and order. We could like to get back to that. Our YouTube live chat poll for today. Do you support Trump's tariffs? Yes, you're unsure, or no? Not very often do I throw an unsure in here, but I know that a lot of people are feeling a little trepidation about tomorrow when a lot of these tariffs go into place. And I will tell you that right now, Fox Business is reporting Israel has announced on Tuesday that it's lifting all tariffs being imposed on United States products at the direction of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and other Israeli leaders. Netanyahu said the move aims to cultivate more competition in the market, make the economy more diverse, and reduce the cost of living for the people of Israel. Well, there's one. We'll see what comes next. Vote on the YouTube live chat poll and let us know what you think. When we come back, Ryan Schmelz with a Capitol Hill update. Of course, he's the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill correspondent. And we'll find out from Ryan, I guess, if Cory Booker is still talking. I wonder if we could, like, get something. Cory Booker's got to be running out of things to say. Ryan, you want to write some lines?
I guess so.
We'll see if we can get him in there. Ryan Schmelz on the Annie Fry Show next.
Long as skies are blue.
Anna Paulina Luna left the Freedom Caucus over there, lack of support for her bill that would allow new parents to proxy vote around 12 weeks around the birth of their baby. Does the president support that bill?
I'm not sure. I haven't actually talked to the president about that bill, but I certainly can and can get a take on if he supports it or not.
So Anna Paulina Luna, congresswoman who was a member of the Freedom Caucus, has determined that she's going to leave the Freedom Caucus because she tried to get a bill through and she couldn't get the support from the Freedom Caucus to do it. Let's get to our guest. Ryan Schmelz back with us, Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. And from what I understand, it could get a little dramatic there on Capitol Hill over this bill and Anna Paulina Luna leaving the Freedom Caucus. Ryan, welcome back to the show. Always good to see you.
Always great to be on, Annie. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Tell me what's going on there on Capitol Hill and how this is unfolding.
Right. Well, it's already gotten dramatic. You know, you see somebody like Anna Paulina Luna, a very conservative member who decided to leave the Freedom Caucus over this push that she has. Pretty much it's a change to the House rules that would allow proxy voting for new parents in Congress up to 12 weeks. Now, this is a provision that's gotten a lot of support from Democrats, and Luna's teamed up with Democrats in order to get this through, and she's gotten some bipartisan support from Republicans. But probably the biggest opposition effort to this has been from members of the Freedom Caucus, which Luna has been a part of ever since she got into Congress. So this frustrated her to the point that she decided to leave and accuse them of holding leadership hostage, saying that they're going to vote to sink bills on the provisional level so that they can't even get brought up to the House floor. And thus, she claims that they forced leadership's hand. And now they're actually voting, probably, I think, right now or in the next couple of minutes on what's called the rule. So the rule is you have to pass this in order to get a bill to the House floor. What they did was that they combined a table motion for Luna's resolution with a bunch of other bills that have a lot of priorities for President Trump, right? So it's essentially forcing members to either vote to table Luna's resolution or you vote to kill President Trump's agenda, which is putting Republicans in a tough spot.
Yeah, I would say so. I'm curious, what's the Freedom Caucus's reason or principle behind saying, you know, because you're saying it's Luna wanted 12 weeks, which is pretty much standard operating procedure for part-time leave or medical leave for I myself took 12 weeks off with each of my kids. Some of them were paid for by the company, and as time passed, some of them weren't paid for by the company that I worked for at the time. But why would the Freedom Caucus say, no, we don't want to support Anna Paulina Luna in this? What's the danger in giving them proxy vote rights in that instance?
Right. So first of all, to make it clear, Luna said it's not every Freedom Caucus member, but it is a small group of them within them who have been the most vocal. Mm-hmm. So one of the big arguments here is that it is not constitutional. It says in the Constitution that members have to be present in the United States Capitol in order to vote. So they believe if you're going to change the rule, then you have to change the Constitution. That kind of aligns with what Speaker Johnson says as well. And Speaker Johnson has been very vocal about his opposition to this. But there's also this argument being made by those who are opposed to this, that this is going to open up the door and set a precedent that means, well, if we allow this to happen, then there's going to be more excuses and more abuses, they believe, when it comes to proxy voting. So I think the precedent and also the constitutionality of this are kind of the two big opposition arguments you're hearing from most people who are opposed to it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the same thing, but I'm thinking if you're on some sort of medical leave because you've just birthed a baby or, you know, whether... depending on how you have it, sometimes it involves a major surgery towards the woman. There's a lot of recovery that's involved. It's not easy to just pick up and go and be on the House floor and vote, which, you know, that would make it more likely for women of childbearing age to not participate in the process of being a representative in Congress if that becomes too burdensome in order to do. But I'm also thinking of, and I can't remember the name, Ryan, maybe you do. Wasn't there a congresswoman in Texas that was in a home of some kind, some sort of senior care home for quite some time that I would assume might be able to fall under some sort of medical leave and be able to proxy vote. But I think There might have been dementia or something involved in that. Do you know the story that I'm referring to?
So my understanding of that story, it was Kay Granger, who's actually the chairwoman of the Appropriations Committee last Congress. She resigned that position kind of out of nowhere. And then somebody else took over after the election. And, you know, kind of during that lame duck period, yes, she was missing a lot of votes. And there was, I believe, a local news station that went to a senior care center that she was staying at. I believe that's what it was. And, you know, they got a pretty negative reception from that. So, yes, so it was, we were wondering what was happening with Kay Granger for a long time because she was kind of MIA.
Yeah. And you said the heading up the House Appropriations Committee. It just seems to me that you would have that there is a little bit of a slippery slope that you'd have to be concerned with when it comes to allowing new moms to vote proxy. That how does that expand itself if constitutionally there is a rule that says that, or a law that says you have to be present to vote.
Yeah, and that's what the debate's pretty much circled around. You know, can these members vote by proxy? And if they simply change the House rules, is that going to set up a precedent down the road that allows people to vote by proxy for other reasons? And one of the arguments Democrats have been making on the House floor as they've been debating this is that there were a number of Republicans, including Speaker Johnson, who utilized proxy voting when it was allowed because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So we have recent examples of proxy voting, and that's when Republicans say, you know, after the pandemics, when that kind of got out of control, or at least allegedly got out of control. So you see that back and forth really kind of extensively over the last couple of days.
We're speaking with Ryan Schmelz, Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill, and White House correspondent. So, Ryan, we did start the show just highlighting for people the Cory Booker filibuster. And so we discussed here, like, what is he trying to stop from happening by filibuster? What is he demanding by filibuster? And we didn't really come to a conclusion as to what Senator Cory Booker is trying to accomplish. A, is he still going? And B, what is the intent of his filibuster over the last, 15 hours or so?
All right, well, let me check the monitor real quick. It looks like he is still going. I forget what place he's at in terms of all-time records for filibusters. But, you know, yes, he has been speaking for well over, I think it's right, like 20 hours or so right now.
Oh my gosh.
It was 12 hours at 7 o'clock, and I apologize, my math is really bad, but
yeah,
you know, 7 p.m. tonight will be a 24-hour filibuster officially. But you know, the debate is this technically even a filibuster, because he hasn't actually held up any Senate business as of right now. You know, the floor was still just open when he started last night, and they pretty much just allow for unlimited debate, so he's allowed to keep going and going into as long as he wants to. So as of right now, no, he has not interrupted any type of Senate business, held up any type of vote. He's pretty much just he's doing this out of a protest for Donald Trump and Elon Musk and trying to make his argument against what they're doing.
Do you know of any of the things he's talked about that aren't Donald Trump? Has he done anything fun? Has he have any like good sets in there in the last however many hours this is?
Well, he did stop so that the Senate could observe its prayer, which it normally does each day when they're in session. And we thought, oh, he might be done now. But he came right back on and kept going as soon as that was over. So that was probably one of the more notable moments. You know, right now he's kind of got this thing going where somebody will come out and ask him a question to kind of give him a break. And then they'll go on a long tangent and draw the question out and make it as long as possible.
Yeah.
You know, they'll get hyper-focused to say, well, the FAA is in your district, or there's offices in your district. How is this impacting your district? And go through all the examples. So they found creative ways to kind of drag this out, and certainly members are helping him. And as of right now, he is still going.
Right. So let me ask you this. Is this actually a filibuster if he's not stopping anything, or is this just is he just making a really long point?
I mean, my understanding is this is not technically a filibuster. This is just a very long speech as of right now.
Wouldn't it suck if they wanted to try
to bring a bill to the floor and then he kept going, then he would be officially filibustering something. But no, this just seems like it's just a very long speech.
Okay, so Ryan, here's another question. What would normally be happening in the Senate right now if Cory Booker weren't there?
They would either be in recess or they would be doing leadership speeches. That's normally what they do kind of in between times that they're doing legislation. So it's kind of a dead period right now because Thune filed cloture on a nomination, and eventually they're going to have the floor open to end debate, then vote on that nomination. But as of right now, you know, there's no action being taken. So I guess they're just going to let him keep going for now.
I'm wondering if he like sat down and stopped for a while, if he'd be able
he
to
is not allowed to sit.
Oh,
but is it
that's the rule? But if he sits down, it's done.
But I'm wondering if he sat down, if nobody would come in and do anything, he could just take a break and then just get back up and start going again.
Yeah, it would still count,
but
right?
It's not. Did you have a question?
I do, Ryan. Just because it's April 1st, do you think the best ending to this filibuster would be him saying, "Ah, just kidding," and then end?
April Fools?
I guess. I mean, I don't know if you can talk for as long as you are and not at least prove some type of point. So I don't know. Yeah, if he's like, "Oh, I actually like all the things I've talked about." I mean, that's a lot of things he's got April Fools on. So I don't know.
That was the worst question I've ever asked about.
Thanks. Yeah, Ryan. Oh, yeah. Ryan asks Ryan the worst question ever. You would not do well at the filibuster. Well, Ryan, thank you for the time today. And do you have to be a senator to ask Cory Booker a question on the floor? Do you have to be a member of the Senate?
Yes, you do.
Can we get Cory Booker any content or anything? Is he looking to promote things? It's just so bizarre to watch him do what he's doing and know that at the end of the day, everyone's like, okay, and then they go get their coffee. It just seems a little strange. No,
well, when he's off the floor, he may have some questions answered for, because there's a notice report that one of his staffers got arrested for bringing a gun onto the Capitol Hill campus.
Oh my.
So notice is reporting that this person who was arrested was in fact a member of his staff. We're kind of working on this story right now, but he may have some questions to answer when he's done.
Is there an explanation or anything that it was like accidental, didn't put it away the way they were supposed to, or is it nefarious?
Not that we know of right now, but what Chad has told me, our senior Capitol Hill correspondent, is that oftentimes when somebody is found with a weapon like this, it is oftentimes because they forgot that they had it on them.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't want to say that that's the reason or not the reason as of right now, but that is a very common thing when this has happened, is that it's usually brought to the Hill by accident.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ryan Schmelz, thank you for the update. We'll be looking forward to seeing what comes of the Anna Paulina Luna situation and Cory Booker as well. We appreciate your update. Thanks for being with us.
Awesome. Thank you, Annie.
Take care. Bye-bye. It's just, what is he doing?
I just thought of a better question.
Any question would have been a better question.
The better question would have been, what if Cory Booker never stops?
Here is the thing. You had a punchline in your head and forgot to figure out how to get it.
I couldn't figure out how to get to it.
No, but you went all in. Still.
Yeah,
you
didn't. I don't regret it.
You didn't hesitate. I do.
I'm sure you do, but I don't. I can't
I
ever regret
it. I broke my one-on-one conversation with Ryan Schmelz so you could do that.
You guys were doing great. I just wanted to make people know that I was here.
That's the most honest thing you've ever said. Anything else you want to add to this segment?
No, I can't. I don't really do the April Fool's thing.
Can you play the music?
So yeah. I was kind of...
No, we can't do the April Fool's thing. We're not allowed to.
You're right. Yeah, we can't do like a War of the Worlds broadcast or something.
No.
Like H.G. Wells.
Do you do April Fool's stuff? Are you into it?
No, I'm not.
I'm not either.
I think I've done a couple of little things when I was a kid, like tried to put a bucket of sponges above the door or something like that. And it was like, why am I doing this?
Yeah. The key is to stay very, very smart when you're scrolling through social media.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I would just skip social media for today. Unless you're watching us on YouTube. Is YouTube social media? Go vote in the YouTube poll. Do you support Trump's tariffs? We'll be right back.
New York, New York.
Wiggins.
Oh, Wiggins.
I'm trying to get a Annie Fry Show Goes the New York trip going.
I'd go.
Well, here's the thing.
Oh, no, really? No, I'm an important part of the show, though.
I was going to until that last question you asked.
Oh, man.
So close.
I was kind of embarrassing the show when I did that. Ryan Schmelz is probably talking with all of his buddies on Capitol Hill about how the show used to be good.
I hope he's specific in his description.
I hope not. Man, that Annie Fry Show, when I first started a couple weeks ago, that show was great. But anymore, ugh. All right. What I have for Wiggins America today is... and this is based on a comment you made yesterday afternoon.
Oh, great.
You said, I got a little OCD about
that. Touch of the OCD.
Touch of the OCD.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think you can be casual about OCD, but maybe.
We'll find out, because today we have warning signs to watch for with OCD.
Okay.
And I'm going to give them to you, and you have to tell me whether you are all in on these things, like this is a problem for you, or it is not. Number one is, when an unwanted thought shows up, you give it your full attention.
I can dwell.
Does it consume you? That would be OCD.
It certainly would have at one point in my time. Yeah, it'd probably be safe to say that. I don't know. It's something I've worked at.
This is something that I don't know that anybody's perfect at, though.
Yeah, you know, I don't think that it's debilitating for me.
Okay.
But it has been in my life.
But you got to fight it.
I have to push back against it.
That would be a touch of OCD.
It's like I have a dramatic sense of self-awareness. I don't love it. I wish I were more like you.
More like you could just ask a guest a stupid question.
Ethan, do you know exactly what I mean?
Who cares?
No.
You don't know what I mean?
No, I do. It's just I never thought that I would hear the words, I wish I were exactly like you.
That's why I whispered it, so it wasn't like going to be a good cut.
Oh, yeah. That would have been a good cut.
Anyway.
Let's make a PSA out of that. And share it with other Odyssey stations nationwide.
Yeah, that should do the trick.
These are called intrusive thoughts. So you don't want them. They come into your head, and what you do with them is... how you know whether you got a little OCD or not.
I have them, and...
I think everybody has them to an extent.
Yeah, I have them, and it is a very active situation to keep them at bay.
Do you think that this is something that naturally gets better with age?
No, it could get worse.
Because when I was a teenager, I remember having... I wouldn't have called them intrusive thoughts, but just these random thoughts.
No, but when we were teenagers, there were no names for any of these things.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they were intrusive thoughts. We just didn't feel like we had to have a clinical name for them. None of that existed. Everything we ate was made of chemicals.
Yes.
We didn't eat anything that was real food in the 80s and the 90s.
It was just chemicals.
Yes, that's all it was. Just like through a plastic straw.
Gave us superpowers.
Some of us. But I think intrusive thoughts is a normal thing to have, but I think that there is a healthy and an unhealthy way to handle them. And we live in a society, I think, that wants to name and label things so much, almost so that you can brag about them in some instances.
Yeah, it's like a social construct to be able to, here's what I have. What do you have?
Yeah. I heard one of my older kids say something about, well, it was my son, and he just made a side comment, like, I don't know, just having some intrusive thoughts. And I didn't say anything to him because it was an honest moment. But I was like, how do you even know the phrase intrusive thoughts? But that's like a common part of discussion.
Yeah. This is one of the problems with TikTok we've talked about before, is that teenagers especially would get on TikTok and diagnose themselves with things that they either don't have or barely might have and decide
or
to go all in on.
Aren't handling it, managing it in a healthy way.
Yeah.
You just find another TikTok video.
Find a new identity in your illness. Number two is, on a scale of 1 to 10, your worry goes to 11. It's hard to control worry with OCD.
I am a huge worrier.
Our brains churn through countless thoughts each day, many of them unpleasant. The question is, are you able to roll with it?
I function with it, but the level at which I have worried about things is out of this world. But I function with it now. It's like I said, it doesn't keep me from living in the world and experiencing the world, but the very descriptive images that I can have in my brain about terrible things happening. Like, if I were to explain them to my husband, he would look at me like, what is wrong with you? Like, it not in an unsupportive way, but just, these are not things that he thinks.
Well, and that's why I ask about age. Because once you get through something several times and you start to realize, oh, this is normal, or it's not real, I would think that helps.
Well, I can be afraid of things that could certainly happen. But the likelihood of them happening is so infinitesimal that it's not worth wasting minutes or more of your day worrying about them, because you can't control it even if it were to happen. So I think for me, it's more of a, honestly, what I've done, the reason why with age I think that it would get better is because you have a better sense of your own self-worth.
Yes.
When you're a kid, you don't have that, and everybody's trying to push back against that. But for me, and this is the God's honest truth, when I start to worry, I just start to pray. And I pray until that worry goes away. Like, that is the mechanism that I use to try to calm my nerves. Like, just give me some peace of mind right now.
Number three is you spend a lot of time and energy trying not to think about something, anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's something out there, and you have to spend a lot of your mental capacity pushing it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a yes?
Mm-hmm.
I think you got a touch of the OCD. Last one is you repeat behaviors in hopes of preventing something bad from happening. This Mm-mm. is called ritualizing Mm-mm. behaviors.
I know somebody very close to me who has this, which is what makes me feel like I have the touch, because some of those like OCD things, you know, repeating behaviors, cleaning surfaces, you cleaned it and then you're like, I think I need to clean it again. Like that type of stuff I don't do. Counting syllables, counting things on your fingers to make it come out to a perfect number or something like that, whatever that perfect number is for
I
you.
Do that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Explain it.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's like, it can't be, I can't name a specific action that it is with, but it's mm-hmm. kind of random things that I have to do that I'm like, okay, I have to do that 5 times, or I have to do mm-hmm. that 10 times. Or if I go past 5 or 10, then I have to go to 25, because 5 times 5 is 25. That's how like that works in my mind. I don't really have a lot of that other stuff, but
you and I together, major OCD.
Dr. Wiggins, help me, please.
That's why I'm here.
Not what this segment is about, Ethan.
Oh, okay. Got things mixed up. Sorry.
Do either of you guys do that? Counting?
Not really. I used to count floor tiles when I was younger. And walk in, this is kind of, it's not really weird,
no,
but walk in ways that a knight on a chessboard would walk.
Yeah.
Like I would have to hit the squares that a knight would move.
Yeah.
It was very strange. I don't do it anymore.
I like even numbers on like volume knobs or sliders or stuff like that.
What do you mean you like them?
If I am given any opportunity to set it at an even number, I'll set it at an even number, not an odd number.
If you put it at an odd number, what happens?
I go, oh, I don't like that.
But well, it I mean, like,
burns.
It's not, yeah, it's not debilitating or anything like that, but any chance that I could change it, I definitely would.
So an example for me would be like when sometimes I'm doing something that annoys my wife, and I've done it like three times.
You have to do it 5 times?
It's gotten to the point where I'll be like, I've done it 4 times. She's like, one more time, and then you're done.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yes.
She knows.
Yes.
You guys are good for each other.
Yeah.
Like doing the dishes. You're like, oh, I can't do it just once.
I've done it 4 times.
That doesn't annoy her, though.
Yeah.
That's the last one on that list, the OCD, the ritualizing behaviors. That's the one people think of the most, because that's the, oh, I got to clean the counter. And
I used to, in my mind, you're talking about like having to move like chess pieces.
Yes.
Move. I, in my mind, when I was little, used to, in my mind, when we were driving down a road, I would mentally have to jump over the light poles.
I get that. I get it.
It's just like in your mind, it sounds uh-huh. super real weird. You explaining your 5 thing, that sounds super weird, but there are people right now who absolutely have done these types of things.
Yeah.
And if they explain it, they'd be like,
it doesn't make
any
sense.
It's the weirdest thing about me. Yeah. And the question is like, how do you stop it? If you can stop it, how do you feel? How much does it, like, can you feel a physical, like, can I please just do it one more time? I need to get it out.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing is what pushes it into clinical in my mind, but that might not be even right. I don't know. Let's talk to Blaine Willauer and Mark Cox in the next hour. Don't